Amen, amen. There was a, thank you, Tamara. There was a elementary school class, and the teacher decided to, she was talking about magnets, and she was teaching the kids the north and the south and how magnets picked up things. And anyway, she had taught that in the morning, and at the end of the day, she decided to do some reviews, so she passed out, a pop quiz, and one of the questions on it was, what is a word that starts with M and picks up things? And expecting to get the response, magnet, half of her children wrote mother. Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to start with the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flocks and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her house and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. For her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchants is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, so she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When she sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sash for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She also rejoices in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Her daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to talk to you about what a godly woman looks like. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but moms, if you think that you were just going to get a candied apple today, you're absolutely wrong. And this word might challenge you. For some of you, you might, as we go over these traits of a godly woman, you might recognize, wow, I'm not hitting all those. We're not here to criticize you, but we're here to build you up, and we're here to encourage you. And sometimes that encouragement means a challenge. Now, men, don't fall asleep during this message, because I guarantee you there's points that God wants to speak to you. Amen? But I want you to understand some things today, because I'm going to talk about these godly traits of a godly woman, a godly mother, what a godly mother looks like. But as I talk about these things, I want you to understand, I'm going to I'm gonna start with the end. And here's the reality, that the woman that I described, this godly mother that we're gonna see here as an example to us, to all of us actually, it's important that you understand why she is that. And I'm gonna again tell you the end first. She is these things that I'm gonna describe predominantly because she has an intense relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. The Bible says in Isaiah that honor is given, that when honor is given to God, God gives that person honor back. And so when you see this woman and you see the example, don't think, you know what, wow, I wish I had it together like that person. Because here's the reality. She's not just, you know, you ever seen some people and you just think, man, they just wake up and they have it together. How many wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're like scared? Come on. Come on, somebody be honest. Like, wow! Who is that? Okay. All I'm saying is, you know what? That it takes effort, you know what, to see these traits that I'm going to show you. I'm telling you what, it's not, listen to me, it's not coincidental that she has these traits going on in her life. It's purposeful. And the main purpose, the main reason why she has these traits that you're seeing is predominantly, here's why, because she has a close relationship with God. And because she has a closer relationship with God, these things are happening in her life. These characteristics are being formed in her life. So let's look at this. You guys ready to go? First thing I want you to notice is, you know what, a godly mother, you know what, she is a person who trusts God. She is a person, number one, she's a person who trusts God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. I have it here up here on the screens with you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. A godly mother understands that ultimately she's got to put her trust in God. She has got to rely on God. There's all kinds of things going on in her life, and she can get frazzled. Listen to me, ladies. She can get frazzled just like you can get frazzled. She can start to think, she can do this. She can start to lean on her own understanding. She can start to figure things out. Ladies, let me tell you what. When you start to figure things out with your own intelligence, you are in trouble. Here's why. Not that we don't have women who are very, very, very smart here, but I'm telling you what, there's no need for you to rely on your own intelligence when you can tap into God's intelligence. Does that make sense? Ladies, be honest. How many of you try to figure things out? You're going to try to figure things out on your own. You're going to try to, and listen to me, and it can be, and I know this doesn't relate to anyone who's here, ladies, but you can even start to get manipulative. Oh, we got real quiet all of a sudden. You're like, Pastor, you better give me two apples today. But I'm being honest, it can start to become manipulative where you're trying to figure everything out. And the problem with that is, can I tell you what the problem with that is? Then you are figuring it all out. And you allow the one who can really figure it all out, you're going to be in control. Can I tell you what? Even if you're a Christian, God will not take control in your life unless you relinquish control to him. God is a gentleman. And he'll do everything to get you and to remind you and to show you. But ultimately, if you don't want to let go of the wheel, he will not take that wheel from you. And you can run your own life. You know what? And I know for many of you, you have run your own life. and you see what direction it goes into. A godly woman, she trusts in the Lord with all her heart, and she doesn't lean on to her own understanding. She acknowledges God. The next verse says, she acknowledges God, watch this, in all her ways. Everybody say all her ways. Now, ladies, can I be honest with you? See, there's some things that you have no problem giving control to God in. But how many recognize, how many would raise your hand and say there's some things that you like to control? Hello, somebody. And you want it just like this or just like that. And so in those areas, many times we're like, no, 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 I can't. Can I tell you what? A godly woman, even though, listen, even though it is many times opposite in what you're thinking, you're going to relinquish control unto God, and you're going to let that over, that scripture that says God's ways are higher than your ways. In other words, that's a fancy way to say God is way smarter than you. You're going to let that override your intelligence, and you're going to submit and say, God, no, 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 no. Whatever you say, that's how we're going to do it. I remember when Tim and I first started pastoring here, we really had some challenges in the leadership of this church and how to get this church on the right path that we would spend most of our time focusing on what we needed to focus on, which was growing the church and getting people saved and bringing people into the kingdom of God. And for whatever reason, at that point in time, the church had a, we talked about a little bit earlier, they didn't understand that concept. And guess who got to teach them that concept? I got to teach them that concept. And I didn't, you know, I didn't learn, you know, they didn't teach me any of this stuff in Bible school. I had to lean unto God and trust in Him. And there were so many times that God told me, I want you to do this. And I thought, that don't make any sense. And He said, okay, well, we can do two things. We can either rely on your intelligence or we can rely on my intelligence. What do you want to do? Can I tell you, ladies, there's times the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, telling you to say something, telling you, listen, telling you not to say something, telling you to go somewhere. The other day, my mother-in-law, you know what, is in the hospital. And the other day, just yesterday, the doctor came in, and and I was, they had given us these chairs. And these chairs were kind of torturous in their makeup. They were very hard and very hard and very hard, okay? And I know already there's only so many of these good chairs, and they have just like three on the whole, you know, whole place, you know, whatever. They only have three or four of them. And they recline, and you can, and I knew Megan was going to spend the night, and I knew I was going to be there all day, so I started immediately asking, hey, you know, can we get one of those chairs in there? Can we get one of those chairs in there? And they were like, they're nice, kind, yeah, well, you have to understand, there's only, you know what, so many of those, and they're already being used already, blah, 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 blah. But when they're saying this, I'm sitting on this hard chair. How many know I am motivated? So then the doctor comes in. And how many know they have a tendency to listen to what the doctor says? You know, doctor says, this is the order. They do that. You know what I mean? And doctor came in, and I felt like, man, if I could tell the doctor, because the doctor, hey, because right before he left, he said, is there anything else you need? Well, right away I wanted to say, I tell you, yes, there is. I need a chair. I've been here for 5 hours. This is crazy. You know what I mean? What? I mean, Paul wanted to say, the Holy Spirit said, don't say nothing. You know, we want to argue with God, but God, don't you, I thought, well, he's the doctor. They just snap when he says, do this or do that, whatever he says. You know what? And they're going to, and God in it, and he says, I'm just telling you, don't say anything. And so then he started talking to my mom, my mother-in-law again, and then, And then before he left, he said it again. Is there anything else you need? And it all, I mean, I'll tell you, it was right here. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what I told you? So, Pastor, what do you do? Listen to me, ladies. I have learned it is better trust the Lord. Lean not into your own understanding. Pastor, what happened? 2 hours later, you know, some guy comes in with the Rolls Royce chair. You know, here you go. You know, where do you want it? Yeah, Pastor, you that probably had nothing to do with it. Listen, that's how we do. We you know what we've gotten so cynical that we can't even be obedient. We go, oh, that was just coincidence. Everything that good happens is just coincidence. Anything bad happens, oh, it's God. Amen. Listen, I don't know what went behind the scene. I don't care. For all I know, God was just asking me. You know what? The Bible says that God tests. Remember, the Bible said God tested Abraham. He's looking to see, can you just keep your mouth shut? Ladies, I am smiling, am I not? Could it be? Can you trust in the Lord? Let me tell you about a godly woman. She will trust in the Lord. She leans not into her own understanding. She's got this relationship with God. So because she's got this relationship with God, he's telling her things. The question is, will you believe and trust God when he's telling you something that doesn't make any sense? Will you just not be in control? Will you allow him to be in control? Number one thing. And it's from this reality that really all the other points come out. Her obedience. And it has to do with her relationship and her ability to trust God, number one. Number two, guys, number two, she is a person who will not worry. Notice how I put this. She is a person who will not worry. It's interesting because we in our society have convinced ourselves that worry isn't a choice. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, worry is a decision. Worry is a decision. Ladies, can I man, I'm glad I got you a nice apple today. Ladies, can I tell you what? Worry is a decision. Now, let me teach you. Somebody want to learn something? Here's the deal. Many of you have convinced yourself that worry is not a decision because you're in a stronghold of worry. It's your, what do they call that? It's your go-to. And your go-to is to do what you are used to doing, and you're used to worrying. Your mother was a worrier, your grandmother was a worrier, and you're a worrier, and you won't call it for what it is. You won't call it out. It's worry, and it's a sin. Because what it is, what's worry the sin of? Worry is the sin of not trusting God. That's what it is. And so you make a decision that you're not going to worry, or you make a decision that you are going to worry. It's a decision. Listen to me. When that thought comes, there's a fork in the road that happens to ourselves all the time. I'll prove it to you. The Bible says, think on these things, whatever's good, honorable, good report, praiseworthy. You know what? If there's anything excellent, think on these things. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible's telling you, you can control what you think. If you couldn't control what you think, it would be wrong for Paul to write us, led by the Spirit, to say, you need to control what you think. No, I got some good news for you, mothers. You can worry if you want to, or you don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. Here, God, here's my request. I cast my care upon you, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to be happy for the rest of the day. Amen. Choice. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a choice. Godly women, they won't worry.
And they won't worry because they're going to choose not to worry. And they're not going to worry because they put their trust in God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Look what it says. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient are the troubles. You know what? Sufficient is the day. It is its own troubles. You know what? Earlier in this passage, God's talking about the birds of the air, and he uses this as an example to say, look at them. They are worrying. They're not concerned with things. And then later on, he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then later on, he says, guys, understand this, that the Gentiles are focused on these things. What's the Gentiles represent? Those who don't have a relationship with God. Ladies, can I tell you? Moms, can I tell you something? Stop worrying. Why? Because God is on your side. He'll go before you and make the crooked path straight. Amen. He'll provide for you. All your needs will be met by him. Listen, don't argue with me. Argue with Jesus. Or worry if you want to. But at least know today, when you worry and the quality of your life goes down, it's because you choose. Jesus, God, the Bible says, cast your care upon him. Why? You know why? Because he cares for you. And not only does he care for you, but he's promised to take care of you. So here's the thing. What you worrying about anyway? Number one, she trusted him. Number two, she does not worry. Number three, she is a person who will not get mad. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Ladies, I know you don't get mad. Amen. I know you're in control. I know you got it together. I know you don't freak out. I know you don't freak out on your kids. I know you don't freak out on your boy kids. I know you don't freak out on your girl kids. I know you, and I know you don't ever freak out on your husband. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Hello. See, we make choices. And a godly woman makes a decision. She's not going to get mad. She's in control. Let me give you some scriptures on this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, a love, and a sound mind. You know what? One version says of self. One version, that sound mind says, one version says of self-control. See, that, listen, many times when you're going off, when you're freaking out, there's something happening. You're being led by a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. And what's behind that is a spirit of fear. You're afraid. And remember when I told you, really, all these points go back to the first point. You really need to just put your trust in God. Amen. Put your trust in God. That's a spirit of fear. And of course you're yelling. Of course you're freaking out. Of course you're, you know what? Whatever. I better need to stop. But that thing is happening because you have fear. And it's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit that casts your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's not the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Look what this says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is necessary edification, that it might impact grace to the hearer. Ladies, I'm just asking, when you're freaking out, are you imparting grace to the hearer? All right, moving right along. Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Look what this says. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice,
nor shall you, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. You say, Pastor, why in the world do you bring up this verse? Here's why. Let me give you the context real quickly. This is the commandment, the instruction that God gave to Joshua to go in and take Jericho. And one of the things he told them to do is to, remember, go around, you know what, walk around. Remember this? And they were to shout, but they weren't to shout. Here's all I'm saying, guys, moms, situation, ladies. There are situations, and they just will make no sense to you. And the Holy Spirit will tell you the same thing that he told Joshua to give the instructions to the Israelites. My wife pointed this out a couple of Sundays ago. It was a great passage where it's in the New Testament where John the Baptist's dad is just spouting off. I don't know what you believe, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I believe the tongue is absolute. I believe that your tongue orders your life. It sets, the Bible says, James, you set that course. The Bible says in James, with your mouth you should not bless God and curse men. And there's times, and I'm not saying it's not frustrating. I'm not saying it's not real. Here's what I'm saying. Give no place to the devil. Don't justify your anger because of what your kids did, what your spouse did, what your neighbor did. You know what? What the crazy person at Jack in the Box did. Here's what I'm saying. Don't justify it. Just come up to the reality and recognize, oh my goodness, there's things that are taking place. The spiritual realm perceives the natural realm, and I can't afford to open my mouth over this one. I can't afford it. It's too valuable. My family's too important. My destiny is too important. I can't allow my emotions to pull me and to control me in the wrong direction. And all of a sudden, then that controls what's going to control things, which is spouting a bunch of junk out of my mouth, a bunch of curses. Make a decision. We all have to make decisions. And those decisions, listen to me, those decisions need to be preloaded before the day starts. I like what Job did. He made a covenant with his eyes. He made a decision before the day started. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to look at anything that will dishonor my God or dishonor my wife. That's what I'm going to do. And we've got to do the same thing with our eyes. We got to do the same thing with our mouths. Make a decision before the day starts. I'm telling you what, I'm going to do a lot of things with my mouth today. But one thing I'm not going to do is allow my emotions to control my mouth. Oh, that's better preaching than you're saying amen. That's just better preaching than you're saying amen. Amen. She is a woman. She is a person who will not get mad. She is a person who will get mad. Well, Pastor, what is it? Will she get mad or will she not get mad? Well, I don't understand. Here's what I'm saying. She will get mad. How many know, ladies, there's a time for you to speak up? Hello? There's a time for you to say some things. Was talking to, who was it? It was your grandma. Your grandma told me a great story over at Mario's Tacos. And she said, you know what, she hasn't given me permission to tell this story. But listen, it's a good story. Sorry. Here's what I'll say. Your grandma blessed me because, you know what, she told my story when it was appropriate for her to speak up. You know, there's times that there's stuff that is taking place and it's unrighteous. And ladies, we need to speak up for unrighteousness. There's times that your children are doing something or not doing something, and you need to speak up. You're the one that's there. There's times that there's something going on in your city, and you need to be the one who stands up and says, we're not going to tolerate this ungodliness in our city. Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. All I'm saying is, there's a time that you need to speak up. It's righteous indignation, and it will come up. And listen, and this is not something that comes up because you're out of control of your emotions. This is something that you're led by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that's leading you. Is this making sense? She is a woman who does not get mad. She is a woman who does get mad. She is a woman, listen to this, she is a person who has God on her mind. She has God on her mind. She doesn't get up and you know what? She's busy. Yes, she's busy, but she's got God on her mind. She's thinking, she's got this relationship with God, and so she starts off her day on her knees praying for her family, praying for her kids, praying for her husband, praying for her church, praying for her all kinds of things she's praying for. But when she gets up on her off her knees, she doesn't stop thinking about God. She's thinking about God throughout the day, and it's obvious. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. We read this earlier, but let me just show you this portion. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She's got the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord just means she believes that what God says is true. And she has this relationship with God. You know what? Listen, I've got a great relationship with my wife. You know what? And so, like this morning before I left, you know what? I kissed her, told her happy Mother's Day. But can I tell you what? Here's the truth. When I leave isn't when I forget about her. Oh, I'll think about her again at 5 o'clock when I come home. No, no, no. I'm thinking about my wife throughout the day. Why? Because I have a relationship with my wife throughout the day. And even in my busyness, I'm thinking about my wife. You know what? God doesn't want you to get too busy to not think about him. You know, oftentimes in our Christianity, we live a Christianity and we compartmentalize our life too much. It's like, oh, okay, now I'm going to church. You know, now I'm going to grab my Bible and, you know what, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, we need to be hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. Can you say amen? And so she's someone, and it's not like, you know, she don't show up to you, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, you know, I'm blessed. No, she's blessed on a Monday. She's blessed on Tuesday. She's blessed on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Thursday at 8 o'clock. You know what? Tuesday at 6 o'clock. She's not turning God on and turning God off. God is always on. God is always on her mind because God is her best friend. And you know it, and you can see it, and it's obvious. God is on her mind. You know what? She is a person who will not, number six, she is a person who will not let herself listen to trash. Can we park here for a little bit? She won't listen to trash. She is a person who is in control of her tongue and good things come out of her mouth. I said good things come out of her mouth. You ever been around a complainer? Ladies, can I talk to you for a minute? Pastor, I think you've been talking to us long enough. No, can I talk to you for a minute? Here's what happens. You know what? Let me talk to you about your front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness. What's your front-sided strength? You are detailed. You are detailed. My wife, you know what? When she is looking after her mom, she is detailed. Well, did you take this? What time is this? What was your temperature? What are your platelets? What are, boom, boom, boom. She knows it all, and it's all very fresh in her mind. How many know that's a huge positive? How many know this? Ladies, this is a huge positive. How many know your front-sided positive has a back-sided weakness? Wow. What's your back-sided weakness? Here's your back-sided weakness. Here's how that plays into a back-sided weakness. You have a tendency to remember everything. And here's the problem. It's all connected. So here's what happens. Somebody does something, particularly somebody that you're connected with, and they do something, and it's not that one thing. Watch this. Watch this. All eyes up here. You got to watch this. It's not that one thing. It's that one thing that they did today, and it's that thing that they did last week, and the thing that they did the week before, and the thing that they did the month before, and the thing that they did 10 years ago, and 12 years ago, and all the things between the 10th and the 12th year, and you know them all, and they're all connected, and all of a sudden something happens, and it triggers this explosion, this volcanic eruption that is completely, and to you, listen to me, ladies, and to you, it makes total sense, and you're totally justified. How many want to give me, let you hear a third-party verification? I love you, ladies, so much. You're not justified. You're out of control. And you have to work on that backside of weakness. Here's what the Bible says. You need to not let the sun set on your anger. You know what that means? That means every day you wrap that up and you forget it. Pastor, I can't forget it. I can't forget it. Life and death is the power of the tongue. Your life is guided, is tracked by what you say. And you're saying the same thing over and over. I can't forget it. Here, I believe you. But you can't forget it because you've made a decision that that's how you tick. Let me give you a scripture on this. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And some of you ladies, there's this volcanic eruption taking place of people that you absolutely love. And listen to me. And you are pushing them away. And you don't even know what's going on. And I'm here to tell you, you need to recognize what's going on. They did one relatively small thing, and you connected it to 5, 10 months, 15 months, 3 years, months. Listen, even, this is the truth, even relationships that they weren't even involved in. Hurts that you had from someone else. I'm just saying. Who's still glad they came today? I am asking, who's still glad they came today? See, this isn't, guys, today we need to get free of this, amen? We need to get free of this. And guys, just so you know what? I'm going to give you a nice hat on Father's Day. Yeah, but I got a dilly of a sermon for you, too. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Watch this. She is a person, this godly woman is a person who will not let herself listen to trash. Some of the reasons why you're in this boat is because you're listening to, you know, your aunt, your uncle, your girlfriends, you know what, and they all just say, hey, you shouldn't put up with that. Well, here, your pastor's got another word for you. You shouldn't be listening to your to these other people. Because they don't know. I'm not saying they're not trying. I'm not saying they're sincere. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? They're not spiritual, and they're giving you bad, bad counsel. Stop. You will not allow that. Stop listening. You make a decision. You know what? You get off the phone. Stop calling the gossipers so much. Because it takes two to tango, amen? You know, I don't gossip, I don't gossip. Well, you sure listen to a lot of gossip. You know who somebody who listens to gossip is called? A gossiper. She is a person that is in control of her tongue, and good things come out of her mouth. You ever see a godly woman? Good things come out of her mouth. She's a blesser. She's not a curser. She's a blesser. She's in control. And finally, she's a person that others can count on and look up with respect and honor. I'm not describing a perfect person to you. I'm describing a person that people can count on, that people can look up to. My wife, believe it or not, you know what? I like to say she's like Mary Poppins. You know what? She is almost perfect in every way. What? Practically perfect in every way. She is you know what? When my wife, I'll close with this. When my daughter recently, we're talking about, it was Tamara's birthday, and whoever birthday is, we talk about them in the positive, and it was Shayla's turn, and I love what Shayla said. She said, you know what? I remember coming home from school, and the house was all clean. And she had lemon oiled the cabinets. And you know what? And when she said that, I thought, you know what? I remember coming home from work from Albertson's late at night and coming home, and the house was absolutely beautiful. And I thought, you know what? It just felt good. And you know what? And I remember thinking, why does she do that? Here's why. She's loving her husband and her family. It's not about talk, it's about actions. And so here's what I'm saying, ladies. You strive for this. I'm not saying that you're going to hit it perfectly. Here's what I'm saying. Let's strive for that. Let's strive for that woman, that godly woman who controls what's coming out of her mouth, who has this deep relationship with God. And here's what's going to happen to you. People are going to give you honor. Your children are going to call you blessed. Your husband, I told you this story, went golfing with these two guys one time. You weren't there, but I went golfing with these two guys. It was me and this guy, Rick, and we went golfing with these two guys. And man, they just complained about their wife the whole time. 18 holes. I usually just play 9 holes. 18 holes. By the time they were got done, I was like, man, I don't even like your wives. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's what I really thought. I bet you your wives aren't half as bad as you're making them out to be. I thought, you know what? You know what I thought? It was so sad. I thought, you two are probably going to be divorced very soon because you're making, not only you're making me and my buddy Rick, you're making us miserable. And I know you're miserable. Can I tell you what? Ladies, do everything you can to be that godly woman. Do that everything you can to connect your relationship with God, that others will look at you and say, man, there's something different about that lady. God will give you honor as you honor God. Amen.
Well, it's interesting about Proverbs 31, because if you look in there, you know what you're going to find? It takes a Proverbs 31 man to make a Proverbs 31 woman. Do you understand that? Look in there and see. And so I say that. Why do I say that? Oh, is this a battle of the sexes? No. No. You know what this is? No. This is God's people wanting to honor God. And we cannot honor God when we don't behave the way he asks us to behave. And he has created us, if you listen to some of the relationship teachings that we have, he has created us pink and blue. And in that relationship teaching, they say, neither one is wrong, they're just different. And boy, we are so different. And what honors God is purple. Do you understand that? You know, purple is like a royalty color. You know, it talks about purple in the Bible. You know, his robes are purple and everything. It honors God when pink and blue both act the way that they should, because when that happens, we end up with purple. Let me show you just a couple of things. And you husbands, you should go home and read Proverbs 31, woman, because you are very responsible for helping your wife to be a Proverbs 31 woman. much is on her, but much is on you. And you can, she can, listen, she can be a Proverbs 31 woman with or without you. We have single women in the house. We have divorced women in the house. We have women, you know what, who are widowed in the house. Oh, they can't be a Proverbs 31 woman? No, they can. God is the man then that functions in their life until a natural man comes and replaces or adds to, you know what, gets in the mix. The two become three, right? So until that happens, you know what, it's for all of us, but there's very much to the husbands in the room, to the men in the room, who the fiancés and boyfriends, you know what, you have a role. And your role is in the scriptures there. So in Proverbs 31:23, it says, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes a seat with the elders of the land. This is a man of honor. This is a man who is respected by people in the community. There's people who they don't have no respect out in the community and they demand respect in their home. They're not respectable people. They're not living a respectable life, right? So you being a man of honor is very, very important, amen? So that's in, you're going to find that one in, what did I say? Proverbs 31:23. And then, you know what? In Proverbs 31:28, listen to this. His, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Amen. Are you praising your wife? Are you showing your children that example that she's to be praised? Or are you like the two men on the golf course that all they do is just tear down, right? It's not good. All right, here's one more, and then I'm gonna close. Proverbs 31:11. You ready? Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. God has created marriage that we would build one another up, not tear one another down. But it takes a lordship to God for us to function like that, so that each one of us can be everything that God has called us to be. And so for the singles in the room, learn how a godly man behaves. And for the married in the room, learn how a godly man behaves. And women, learn how a godly woman behaves. Because we're supposed to honor God with our lives. And the only way we do that is through honoring him first, and then it honors all kinds of people. People see him in us, and it brings honor to his name. Amen? Amen. Amen.